You are listening to the Project Management Podcast. We bring project management topics to beginners and experts. Find us on the web at pmpodcast.blogspot.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to show number 36. I am Cornelius Fichtner. This is the Project Management Podcast for the 10th of June 2006. If you manage any e-business projects, then today's show is going to be right up your alley, because who you gonna call when you need a worldwide network of e-business project specialists? That's right, you're gonna call the PMI's e-business SIG. But first, here are a few announcements and one helpful resource for you. First of all, let me start out with a correction following up on last week's show about the CAPM. If you remember, I had an interview with Frank Reynolds on the CAPM, and in this interview, Frank mentioned that the 35 hours, the 35 contact hours, which are required in order for you to take the PMP exam, and I believe it's 20-some that you need for the CAPM exam, that this training has to come from an officially recognized, registered education provider of the PMI. Well, I got an email from Kai Weiss, PMP out of Wisconsin in the USA, and she writes, "I have one concern about a statement that Frank Reynolds made in the most recent podcast. He stated that the contact hours needed must be received from a registered education provider. After listening to the program, I decided to review the PMP handbook to make sure I hadn't misunderstood this in the past, and I found that the handbook does differentiate and that courses or programs offered by reps are pre-approved as qualifying for the credit. But it also states that courses or other programs offered may also qualify." Well, yeah, I agree with Kai on this statement. So if you are planning to become a PMP or a CAPM, the contact hours, the training hours that you need, do not have to come from a registered education provider. They can come from any type of formal classroom-style training or distance training that you have received, as long as this training, this style of training, falls within the requirements that the PMI outlines in their credentials handbook. So much for this correction. Next, I have a survey on the blog at pmpodcast.blogspot.com that I would very much appreciate it if you would fill it in for me, because I would like to better understand how you download and listen to the program. Do you have broadband or do you have dial-up? Do you listen to the whole show or do you listen only to parts of the show? Do you listen to the show on the computer or do you listen to it on your iPod or MP3 player? How often do you listen to new episodes? And to understand this better, I have created an 8-question survey that you should be able to fill in within about 3 minutes of your time, and I'd really, really appreciate it if you would go to the blog and click on the link and answer the 8 questions. Thank you so much. Last week, I asked you if you had ever wondered how you could say thank you for being able to listen to the Project Management Podcast, and then I mentioned the fact that I have a Amazon affiliate link. Well, today, I would like to mention another way in which you can say thank you, and that's quite simply by visiting our sponsor. I have an official sponsor of the show, which you will hear in a moment, is the UCI, the University of California, Irvine. And I also have, on the left-hand side, the sponsors that come in through the Google ads. So if you want to say thank you, why not visit these sponsors and take a look at what they're doing? Now, I'm not just trying to say, well, go to the blog and just start clicking on these banners and the Google ads. No. That's not what I want you to do. But if you are on the blog and you see that there is an ad, either by the sponsor or by the Google ads, that you'd say, you know, this would interest me, why not click on it? Why not say thank you to the Project Management Podcast? This episode is sponsored by the University of California, Irvine. Better, faster, more. We hear this from our stakeholders every day. Do you have the tools to take on these demands? The University of California, Irvine Extension Project Management Certificate Program can give you the knowledge to get your projects done. On time, on budget. To learn more, visit www.extension.uci.edu/PM or call the United States at 949-824-7774. UCI Extension is a Project Management Global Charter member. I have one single helpful resource for you today. And the reason for this is I am going for quality. I found this article in the CIO magazine and it's available at cio.com. It was written by Meredith Levinson and it was published on June the 1st, 2006. And it's titled Project Management: When Failure is Not an Option. This is, when you print it from the website, a 6-page article. Now, if you remember, my third or fourth show, way back, was about failure. Because that's when one of my projects was actually failing. For the first time in my project management career, I was faced with this. So this article here, that really hit home again. It brought back the memories of the time then when I was facing this. Now, let me read the intro here. 5 years ago, almost half of A.G. Edwards' IT projects were late and over budget. Now it boasts an 88% project success rate. How did it do it? By galvanizing IT, reinventing its PMO, and relying on a standard framework to track projects and create accountability. Now, this is not only a very well-written case study slash article about project failure and how to address it and how to turn your company around when you really have issues in regards to project failure. No, there are two additional resources that they give you. They give you an 8-step implementation plan for improving project management. And it goes something like, number one, identify current project success rate. Number four is train your staff. Number six is foster joint accountability. And number eight, encourage project managers to communicate better and more frequently. So just from these four, you can tell this is all, you know, pretty much common sense. But it's good to see that someone has written it down and gives it to you in a clear-cut format. And then the next thing they give you is at A.G. Edwards, the project managers, they monitor 25 key activities in the life cycle of every project. And they actually give you an overview of these particular key activities to download. It is, I believe, a PDF document. And it shows you from planning through analysis, design, building, testing, and implementation how they go about, what they measure, what they look at in order to be successful in their projects. Now, this is really one heck of a good article, one heck of a fantastic resource if you are looking for help in the project success or project failure, whatever it may be at your company, realm, to give you some support. As always, of course, you can find a link to this particular article on the blog at pmpodcast.blogspot.com. And now, let us move on to the main event today, which is an interview with Michael Yinger from the eBusiness SIG. You may recall that a little while ago, 4 or 5 shows ago or so, I had an interview with the consulting SIG, with Frank Parth. And today we are continuing this series. But no worries. don't be afraid that this program is suddenly going to turn into the Project Management Institute's Special Interest Group podcast. No, no, no. Yes, I do have interviews lined up with other SIGs, but I also have interviews lined up with the AIPM. I am also working with the Australian AIPM, and I will also contact the British APM for an interview. The idea behind these interviews with all these worldwide PM institutions is to show you what wealth of support in groups there is available for you out there, and what it is that you're going to miss if you don't become part of a professional organization and join these groups and take in what they have to offer for you. Right. Now, today's interview is with Michael Yinger. Over the course of his career, Michael Yinger has developed a clear and detailed understanding of business practices, strategies, and technology enablement, is what it says on the eBusiness SIG's website about Michael. He has delivered sales growth of 10 to 20% in a down market, dealt with senior level clients, and established efficient organizations in a number of different industries, within startups and established companies. He is well versed in current enterprise-wide technologies like ERP, CRM, e-commerce, and the web, and he is capable of managing technical as well as strategic initiatives. You will hear later on in the interview, as it comes to a close, as we're getting into the 10 final questions, that it begins hiccuping. That it sounds odd right there. Now, don't worry about it. This is only going to take about 3 to 4 seconds. Something went wrong with the recording software that we used. This is a Skype interview. And it'll come back onto track. So don't adjust your iPod. You have not entered the Twilight Zone. Here is the interview.
The Project Management Podcast. Feature interview.
Today, with Michael Yinger, Vice Chair of Membership.
Hi, Mike, and thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Okay. Mike, you are the owner of Customer Solutions Incorporated and also the Vice Chair of Membership of the eBusiness SIG. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your company?
Sure, Cornelius, thanks. Customer Solutions is a consultancy that focuses primarily on business and IT strategy. All of our work tends to be around the interface of technology and business, helping businesses use their technology resources more appropriately, more effectively, or perhaps adding new resources to support their business objectives. So I do both technology projects and business process kind of projects.
Sounds like a perfect fit for the eBusiness SIG.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It definitely has a good tie-in to what we're trying to do through eBusiness, yes.
Why in the end did you get involved with the eBusiness SIG?
When I was joining PMI, like a lot of other people, I was looking at the specific interest groups that seemed to apply to the kind of work that I was involved in. And based on what I saw within the eBusiness SIG objectives and so forth, it seemed like a very logical way for me to extend both my knowledge and my network within the community of practitioners who were focused on project management, of course PMI, but also eBusiness from a project management perspective. It just seemed like a natural fit for me.
Yeah. Now, if you had to explain the eBusiness SIG to someone in one or two sentences, what would you say?
The SIG was set up several years ago to extend the practice of project management into the area of eBusiness. And so our reason for existence, if you will, is very similar to what other SIGs are there for. We're a forum for discussion, for networking, education, in what is essentially a domain area of expertise, which is e-business. Our mission is focused on extending the project management discipline into the area that is represented by e-business type projects.
Okay, I'll come back to the mission in a little while.
But sure.
First thing I'd like to ask you is, I checked online those 30 SIGs that the PMI has listed, and I found a couple that are probably related to what the e-business SIG does. There is the Information Systems SIG, the IS SIG, mm-hmm. and there's also the Information Technology and Telecommunications SIG. What's sure. the difference between them and your SIG?
Well, let's talk about the IT and telecom first, because that one is actually more different than the IS SIG and the eBiz SIG. The IT telecom SIG, I'm not a member of that SIG, but if you look at what it is that they do, they're primarily focused on telco providers, so it's more vertical. They're also looking more at some of the hardware and infrastructure issues that are related to telco as a specific area. So substantially different than what we focused on. Now, the ISSIG, actually, I'm also a member of the ISSIG. Not unusual. A lot of people in PMI belong to more than one SIG. But the ISSIG is specifically around information systems and technology projects. And it would be reasonable to say that an e-business project could be considered an IS project. I know you've asked some questions for me further down. But the point is that that's a much broader scope that's focused primarily on IT and IS projects. And we would say that e-business typically has a fairly large business component to the project. And also the technology is much more focused. When you talk about an e-business technology, you're really talking about online tools, people interacting with a web browser, and so forth. So it's a more narrow focus, if you will, around a specific area of technology, but applying that additional component of tying it back to the business.
All right, let's take a look at a few of the basics of your SIG before we go more into the what is exactly that you do. Let's start out with the numbers. How many members do you have?
We're just right around 1,200. I haven't done the numbers yet because the data hasn't come out for April, but at the end of March we were right around 1,200.
And how does that compare to other SIGs? Do you know?
You know, I've seen some statistics, and we're, if you will, somewhere in the middle of the curve. There are SIGs that have close to 10,000 members, but there are a number of SIGs that have members in the hundreds. So we're somewhere in the middle in terms of membership size.
Are your members worldwide?
Yes, about 70% in the U.S., 30% worldwide, international.
Mm-hmm. And do you focus on any particular industry, or is it open to anyone?
No, it's open to anyone. This is not an industry specific. It's more a horizontal across industries.
Let's start looking at what exactly it is that the e-business SIG does. But let's start with the word e-business. How do you
Sure.
define e-business?
Well, we actually are engaged in an internal discussion on this, and will likely extend this further to our members, because there are a number of definitions of e-biz out there. The one current definition that we have been talking about is, and I'm this will sound like a quote because it is sort of, conducting and managing an enterprise utilizing online tools and channels. It's not just the technology, but the web, since technology enablement has been around, quite frankly, since electricity was discovered. So it really is business using the web.
Well, I have another statement for you.
Sure.
I found that statement on your website. It's the mission statement. The mission
Sure.
statement is, the mission of the e-business SIG is to enhance the effectiveness of PMI e-business practitioners around the globe by providing access to leading-edge e-business program and project management news, knowledge, and practices. Now,
Sure.
what does that mean in the form of actions? Let's say my company uses e-business. What can the SIG do for us?
Well, pardon me. The SIG is in existence along with the other SIGs in different areas to provide access to our members to information about the specific area that they're interested in that they might not otherwise have. So in our case, more specifically, we have access to programs that involve people getting education in the area of e-business project management, e-business management, e-business technology, if you will. We have webinars that provide information. We are, quite frankly, enhancing our website. We're gonna completely redo our website over the next 3 months to provide more ease of use, quite frankly, to links to other organizations that focus on eBiz, to getting to the white papers and the webinars that we have in our library, but today are a little bit more difficult to get to. We're trying to resolve some of those things. And also to, if you will, engage the community in these broader-based discussions, as I just talked about. How do we define e-business in the first place? And does that definition have an impact on what the SIG is doing and how the SIG moves forward? So there are a number of different areas that we're moving in terms of what can a company benefit from this. It's a relatively easy way for employees, if you will, to have access to resources, other practitioners, and ultimately tools and information that will make them more effective at the job that they're doing for their particular company.
Do you have any case studies where you can show the e-business SIG helped its members?
You know, I saw that question, we don't have any active case studies now. That's on our list, and as with everything else within PMI, we're a volunteer organization, and so we try to prioritize the things we think are going to have the biggest bang. Case studies are on our list, but it's not something that we've engaged in yet.
Mm-hmm. Any anecdotal information on that topic?
Well, I can certainly speak from personal experience, and I know you've asked me in your questions, how has the EBIS SIG helped me? And through some of the online discussions that we've had, through some of the communications that we've had, I've been able to extract new ways of looking at a particular project, also some specific examples that I have used in how I've approached a client opportunity or a client issue. And so I can speak personally to that, but you know, similar conversations with other members in the SIG, but we've not collected that information actively at this point.
You've already hinted at the following question a little bit. Does the e-business SIG focus more on the E, the electronic, or on the B, the business side, in its name?
Actually, what I'd say is we focus more on the P, which is the project management, because, of course, we are affiliated with and a subset of the Project Management Institute, right? And so our focus is the project management component of the e-business project. An e-business project can have a lot of technology in it, or it can be primarily B because the technology is already there and it's just not being used effectively. So I would say that there's no particular focus from our perspective on the E or the B, but really the project management that goes into a e-business project that could have large technology, small business, or vice versa.
Right then, what skill set does a program or project manager need in an e-business project?
Well, as with any other project, and if we go back to the PMBOK guide, a project manager needs to have project management skills. And for an e-business project, it's no different in a sense than a bridge-building project. What sort of expertise do you need to run a bridge-building project? Well, you certainly need your project management skills, and you need to have some domain expertise. In the case of an e-business project, we would suggest that the domain expertise would have to do with web technologies and understanding business objectives and priorities in an online world. Does that say that you can't run a project if you don't have this expertise? No, any more than, again, if you go back to what the PMBOK guide says, anybody with project management skills can run any project. Now, we all know in real life it is helpful and sometimes even critical to have domain knowledge. And so, again, domain knowledge that we would talk about for these kinds of projects would be around the use of the online tools and the implementation of those in the context of meeting business objectives.
Right. You've pretty much answered about three or four questions that I had for you here.
It's so unfortunate the way that works out, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but hey.
Yeah, well.
You've covered it all. I think you've given a pretty good overview of what you need as an e-business project manager and where to focus on in your project. So that's quite good. How much does it cost to join the e-business SIG?
Membership is $20 a year.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw that you have a cooperation with the University of British Columbia. Now, what's the intent behind this cooperation?
Well, this speaks specifically to our desire to provide educational opportunities in eBiz. The University of British Columbia has a fairly well-known e-business certificate program, and our members get a discount. I don't know offhand what it is, but our members get a discount for participating through eBusiness SIG in the various courses that are offered through the University of British Columbia. And so for a membership, it's exposure and a bit of a price break, if you will, to a fairly renowned educational institution. On the flip side, the UBC, of course, is getting access to additional potential students and exposure to people who might not otherwise know what they do, which just enhances their position, if you will, in their field. So it's definitely a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. That kind of reminds me. Wasn't there a presentation by the UBC last year in Toronto at the leadership seminar on this particular cooperation?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think
right.
So. I've actually sat through that. It was quite interesting.
And likely that will be also a topic in October at the conference that's being held in Seattle, because of course it's very close to University of British Columbia, easy for the folks to get down, and so we're already in discussions with them about having another joint presentation, if you will.
Do you know of any other universities that have a similar program like the UBC?
You know, most of the major universities have this as a component, although there are not many that we're familiar with. There are a couple on the East Coast, University of California also, that have specific programs around e-business. But clearly e-business is becoming a more significant component in the more traditional business programs, but also in the more traditional technology programs. So typically where most universities you're seeing it is it'll be coursework or perhaps specialization within an established degree program. UBC, if not unique, is at least at the forefront in this area.
Next to the cooperation with the UBC and that particular seminar, you also offer webinars on the eBusiness SIG website, right?
Yes.
How many do you have?
Well, we've got three or four posted because we pull them down over time. But what we do is, in addition to having them posted on the site, we actually run them they're recorded webinars, of course, but we advertise them and run them in sort of a real time, immediately, much like you would do with your podcast. We make the recording, then we put it out there immediately, advertise throughout the SIG. We're doing these most of the time in conjunction with the finance SIG. We have a joint program, and so sometimes the subjects are related to eBiz, sometimes they're related to finance, but something is an offering, joint offering to the membership of both of those SIGs. We're also in the process of presenting our first live webinar, and we intend to do a few more live webinars. And I say a few because certainly a live webinar is a nice forum for interaction and so forth, but you don't reach as much of an audience as you do, of course, with a recorded one. So we're experimenting, if you will, in terms of how many people we can reach with both live and recorded webinar.
And, of course, one future webinar is going to be on podcasting with yours truly on it. Yeah. Do you offer PDUs for watching the webinars?
Yes, we do. Today, it's using the member is able to go in and cite the participation and claim the PDU as a as part of their ongoing education. What we will be doing for future webinars is actually securing the the code number so that they it will facilitate the process of collecting those PDUs. We are, as our other SIGs, a registered educational organization, and so we will be actually registering our webinars in the future so that it makes it that much easier for the member to participate and then claim their PDUs when they're done.
Yeah, and on that note, I just learned that yesterday, I believe, as a component, as a PMI component in good standing, you don't even have to be a registered education provider anymore. You can actually offer PDUs without having to be a registered education provider, as long as you're a component like a SIG or a chapter or a
college of the PMI. Yeah, in our case, we're actually both, so it just makes it that much easier for our members to get the credit for participation.
Right. I also saw you have a newsletter, the e-business news. Is that open to anyone, or is it only for members?
It's intended for members at this point, yes.
All right. And what do members gain from reading the newsletter?
Well, the intent of the newsletter is to provide information on what's going on with the SIG and what sort of opportunities there are either to participate or to gain more knowledge. There will be articles on information topics around tools and techniques and so forth, and so the subject matter obviously varies from newsletter to newsletter. It's intended to be another piece of our overall information opportunity, if you will, to our members.
I also noticed that next to the cooperation with the University of British Columbia, you also offer corporate sponsorships. Why should a company choose to become a sponsor of the e-business SIG?
Well, there are actually a couple of potential benefits to a company, and we are in the process of revamping the offering, if you will. But there certainly are a couple of benefits that a company gets. First is they provide some visibility to their organization, to a fairly substantial number of practitioners in the e-business space and as member of PMI. And also we find that it increases the visibility within their organization to what PMI can do and what PMI can offer, allowing their people access to our capabilities, thereby increasing their own organizational capabilities within both project management and specifically within the e-business space.
What kind of volunteering opportunities do you offer your members within the e-business SIG?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Cornelius. We recently had a face-to-face board meeting, and one of the things that I was tasked with is coming up with the framework for extending some of the projects that the board is engaged in to include members. One, the board is a finite number of people, but two, they're are some very skilled people who are members within the SIG that we would like to get more involved in some of the projects that we're engaging in. So projects along the lines of setting up and managing the webinar process. We actually do have some volunteers from the organization who are helping us on our website rebuild. We think this speaks to our mission, which is to provide more opportunities and education and so forth to our membership by allowing them to participate in the projects, get some learning from the participation from the projects, and then, of course, get some credit for the participation from the projects in the form of PDUs to support their ongoing, for those who are PMPs, to support their ongoing education and, if you will, accreditation towards their PMP requirements. So these are things that will be launched over the next 2 to 3 months in a more formal way, but today we do reach out. When we have a project, as I say, the rebuild of the website is being done. Not only it's supported and sponsored by the board, the project manager is a board member, but the people who are helping him with the project are coming from the general membership. So those are the kind of volunteer opportunities that we're extending and attempting to add more to over the next several months.
Well, let's sum it all up.
Sure.
Please tell our listeners out there why they should join the e-business SIG.
There's always the why question, isn't there, Cornelius? You know, I talk a little bit about why I joined and the opportunity within PMI that's presented by our SIG and any other SIG is that you have the chance to be exposed to people and thoughts that you certainly would not be otherwise exposed to as part of your day-to-day business. PMI as an organization is very large, and it's difficult to engage in close conversations and focused conversations with people, whether literally through a team or virtually through some of the chat sessions. By focusing on the eBusiness SIG, you have the opportunity to be involved with a substantial number of other practitioners who are working in the e-business area, who are focused on projects that utilize e-business technology and the e-business approach to project management. And so it's a great opportunity to get involved with other people, to extend your network, to grow your professional knowledge within the within this particular discipline, at the same time enhancing your overall project management skills as part of your membership within PMI as an organization itself.
Ready to do the 10 questions? Do the 10
sure.
questions?
I'm absolutely ready. I even have answers to them all.
What was your project? What was your project?
You know, that's favorite is such an interesting thing because it can obviously change from time to time. But the one that I usually, when someone says, what was your favorite project? The one that comes to mind was a project I managed for the client was a telco manufacturer. They switches and you know all the little widgets and so forth for the telco industry, primarily for people who are building networks. Fairly large company up in Minneapolis. The issue that they were faced with is that they had spent about $2.5 million building their website and building it internally. They didn't even pay that to consultants, so that's a lot of real dollars for a company to spend on a website. And they were averaging about $10,000 a month in e-commerce. And so by just about any measure, the website was not a success. And so the project that we had was to bring the e-channel into their marketing. In a sense, it was sold as an e-marketing project, but what we were actually doing was expanding their definition of marketing so that the e-channel was really an overall component of as opposed to a separate component of, and that's the way they were running it, totally separate from the rest of their marketing. And so our project was to re-engage the e-channel in part of their company marketing. So that's what we did. We redid their e-business strategy by redefining it as a component of their overall marketing strategy. So it was very interesting because it allowed us to get the company to think about e-business as a component of what they do as opposed to e-business as just something else that you have to do because everybody's doing it, which is the way they approached it in the first place. So it was there was actually very little technology in that project. In the end, we defined some technology tools and so forth that helped them be more effective, specifically in terms of measurement. But this was a situation of taking the tools they already had and using them more effectively rather than going out and building them a bunch more tools. So I say that right now sort of my favorite project in the e-business space, definitely.
Number two, what project would you like to have managed?
And I thought a lot about that one because there have been some interesting projects that have gone by the by. I would have liked to have been involved in the project that set up the Amazon engine. In the early days when I was first working in the e-business, of course, Amazon was not the only example, but it was just about the only successful sort of B2C, business-to-consumer kind of example that was out there. And the way they built their tool, even today, is still leading edge from a technology perspective. And yet it was all done with the focus on how do they best serve the needs of their customers. There were some companies that I worked with, Egghead, you may not remember. Egghead.com was a very early technology provider over the web, and they had this catchy name, right? Egghead.com. And they had the most incredible technology, but they just couldn't get anybody to buy from them because they had this great technology and this great name, but no, they weren't getting to the customers. They just weren't getting to the customers. So I would have liked to have been involved in the early days of the Amazon technology.
Number three, what is your favorite project management book?
You know, the one that I cite most often when people ask me that question, and I read a lot of project management books, as all of us do, just to stay current in our profession. But the one that I bring up a lot is The Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. It's actually a book. And it's a metaphor, like any other book of that ilk, but it's a very interesting metaphor that talks more about how do you deal with people and how do you interact with your organization and your customers and in ways that make you more effective. And it's told, obviously, from the perspective of Attila the Hun. Now, actually, one that I'm reading right now is Napoleon on Project Management. And this one is actually an outgrowth of a series of articles that were published in Ganthead by Jerry Manis, who's actually a very active PMI member. And so that's a very interesting book because, again, it takes a look at using Napoleon as a metaphor for successful project management, because through the study of people like that, you can see some really innate skills. They certainly weren't practicing PMBOK guide type tools, but the success that they had and whatnot really draws some good examples, and it sticks with you because it gives you another context to think about it. In some ways, it brings some of these tools to light. So that's one that's my favorite and one that I'm actually reading right now.
And Jerry is probably going to love the fact that you've plugged his book again, because we've given away two copies of it a while ago.
It's a great book, and Jerry's a great guy too, and it makes it more special when you know the author, that's for sure.
Yeah. Number four, what is the topic of the next seminar that you're planning to attend?
Actually, I have two upcoming seminars. One is, and they're two weekends following each other. One is Excellence in Project Management, which is not a PMI, actually both neither of these events are PMI-sponsored events, but just as it says, it talks about excellence in project management, number of speakers and whatnot. And the following weekend is one on empowerment, which is more of a personal, you know, growth kind of thing. So those are the two areas that I'm touching in the next couple of months.
Number five, what is the best way to make a project fail?
The best way to make a project fail is not to communicate, in my mind. You can do a lot of other things to make a project fail.
Number six.
Go ahead. No problem.
Sorry about that.
I think a lot about project failure, and actually I'm a member of also the I can't think of what it's called, but I want to say this is the Project Failure SIG, but it's the projects that are in trouble. And a lot of my work is in projects that are in trouble. So there are a lot of ways to make a project fail, but the one that comes up time and time again is not communicating.
Number six, how do you like to celebrate a successful project?
The way I celebrate every successful project project is through recognition. And, you know, I mean, and sometimes that means that we all get together and we have a big party, right? But it's not about the party itself. It's about recognizing the work that people have done, recognize the contributions that have been made, both on all sides of the project, whether it's a consulting project or it's an internal project. So it's what I think keeps the project in people's minds going forward, and that is the recognition that comes from the work that's completed and presumably the work well done.
Number seven, in your projects, where do you focus most of your attention in order to be successful?
Most of the attention that I focus on projects is around communication. And I keep coming back to that, and it's not just because I'm trying to, you know, sort of parrot what the PMBOK guide tells us, but the fact is most of the time you can lead back to, failure leads back to not effectively communicating in some way, and so it's communication, it's anticipating when news is needed or when people need to be brought into the picture, but it really all comes back to effective communication.
Number eight, if you weren't a project manager, what would you like to be?
I would like to be running a winery. That's my personal long-term goal. It's a habit, a desire I picked up in college, which was a long time ago, but it's one that I've not forgotten and one that I continue to strive for.
Number 9. What is the one thing that a project manager cannot live without?
You know, when I thought about that question, my mind went through, of course, the usual set of tools and whatnot. And it really comes down to, I think, you can run any project without tools, but if you don't have the personal skills that make up a project manager, the ability to listen, the ability to lead, the ability to organize and so forth, all the things that the project manager competency framework would tell us, right? Another component of PMI. If you don't have those personal skills, you could have all the tools in the world, all the software in the world, all the money in the world to spend, and you would fritter it all away. It really comes down to having the personal skills necessary to hold the whole thing together. Because you can run a project without all those other tools, but without the personal competency, I don't think you can run any project successfully.
And finally, number 10, the oldest question in project management. What is more important in a project manager? Project management expertise or industry expertise?
It's an easy question in my mind. You gotta have project management expertise.
Thank you very much for having been on the show with us today.
Thanks,
I enjoyed
Cornelius.
It.
Cornelius, appreciate the opportunity, and I think this is a great way for communication to be enhanced and spread around. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And that was Michael Yinger talking to me about the eBusiness SIG, a good group of people that can help you improve your project management skills for your eBusiness projects. Yeah, and that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Next week, I have an interview ready for you with Brian Irvin about nothing less but project politics. This is going to be really good. As always, you can find us on the web at pmpodcast.blogspot.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. As always, when you write, please don't forget to tell me where in the world you are writing from. And finally, we have this, a quote that I have found on quotationspage.com, and the quote is, "God is not dead, but alive and doing well. And he is working on a much less ambitious project." With that, get out of your office. I believe that I have mentioned this before in this point here, but it cannot be stressed enough. Don't manage your project from your office or cubicle. Manage your project at the desk of your stakeholders. And for that, you have to get up and go to them. Until next time.